Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Review It Yourself. I have guests with me, as per usual. I've got Chris and Aaron from the Semi-Skeptic podcast. Welcome, fellas.
Cheers for having us, strong.
Oh, my.
Absolute pleasure. This film, this is going to be an interesting one. I'd never seen it before. Today, everybody, we're reviewing, if you can call it that, Demons, the 1985 Lamberto Bava film, produced by Dario that's not spelled right. I've written down Argentina. It's not. It's Argento. I don't know why I've done that. Of course, he helped produce George A. Romero's Dawn of the Dead, 1978. Great film. So, first question to the both of you, really, is why did you pick this film?
First one that came to my head. And I recently thought to myself, I need to watch Demons again. So then when you said, what film do you want to do? I thought, well, I do want to watch Demons again. So that though.
That's as good a reason as any, I suppose.
It's a brutally honest answer.
It is. Yeah, I mean, you guys, so, I mean, you could have made some shit up and you made it interesting, but that's fine. Like, brutal honesty is fine. So when did you guys like first see the film? Because I've only just seen it tonight, so pretty interesting for me.
The first time I saw it, it must have been about 10 years ago. I think a friend suggested it to me and I watched it and I was just blown away by how shit yet how good it is at the same time. It is phenomenal.
I mean, how about you, Aaron? When did you first see it?
Well, I don't know what Chris means by that, because I put it up there with like Shawshank Redemption, and I think it's a very underrated subtle masterpiece. But yeah, for me, I think I must have been in college or something. And I remember being told about it a lot as a kid, but I think it was my cousin who used to tell me about it, because he's a little older than I am, but he could never remember the name of the movie. And suddenly I was in college and I was watching this film, and these bits that I remember him talking about happening, I was like, finally, this is the fucking film. And I just really enjoyed it all the way through, and every time I put it on, I must have seen it now like been 8 and 12 times. I try to watch it like once a year if I can, but I still couldn't really tell you what it's about.
I'm gonna do my best. So basically it's set in Berlin, but it was also filmed in Rome. So some of the scenes, like the bit on the train at the beginning, given I was in Italy a couple of months ago, that's definitely Italy. And then all of a sudden she gets off the Italian train, she's in Berlin, as you do. So yeah, in Berlin, a lass gets off a train, thinks she's being followed. The soundtrack's amazing, but I'll save that for later. Yeah. Her name's Cheryl. She gets given this complimentary ticket for what they think is a special screening at this place called the Metropole. Sorry, that's the one. Yep, you've got the ticket. Nice. And she's like, she runs out after this guy she thinks has been stalking her, and he's like, oh, can I have another ticket for my mate? And it's a bit more non-northern than this. And she's like, oh, can I have another one for like my friend? Yeah, there you are. So this creepy guy with half a robot face gives her another ticket for her mate, Kathy. So along with a few other people, he just seems to hand them out at this kind of train station. And it turns out, so for anyone who doesn't know, the Metropole is an actual place in Berlin. It used to be a theater and a music hall. I think the music hall part of it's been knocked down. And now it's like a high-end nightclub. Can't remember the name of it. But yeah, I mean, it's a kind of a 900-odd seater place, cinema type thing. So they go there, start watching this film, and it's kind of a stereotypical creepy film. But then all of a sudden, things that start happening in the film start being mirrored in real life. It's about the best as I can do. Directed by Claudio Simonetti. Her mate's not happy it's a horror film. The audience, this is pretty random. One lady narrates for her. So I thought it was a friend, but I think it's meant to be the guy's daughter, actually. Yeah. A fellow who's blind.
Yeah.
Cheryl, his niece, that's the one. Cheryl comfort. They meet these two kind of college guys, George and the other one, I think. And let's have a look. Oh, yeah. So the film that we're watching is about a group of youngsters who find Nostradamus's grave. There's also a pimp named Tony and his quote unquote friends. So that's pretty stereotypical for the time. I mean, and that he's the most interesting character in it until he gets ripped to pieces.
Tony, but, the pimp, legend.
Yeah, absolutely hilarious. The film, I mean, for me, this kind of it has echoes of, and I know it's a lot later, but it has kind of echoes of From Dusk Till Dawn, echoes of films. You know, kind of like the old zombie films, it feels very kind of old-fashioned. I struggled with it, to be honest. Even though it's 90 minutes, I did find myself kind of thinking, because it's like gleefully over the top and gory in that fantastic way only the 1980s could do. If you tried to make this now, people would call it a pile of shit. They'd be like, what's this? It's dreadful. But I mean, there's some good quotes in it, like demons are instruments of evil, and the weird little like scratch on your cheek thing. That starts to appear. Yeah. And I definitely think the beginning of Scream 2 was ripped off from this film, where she like rips through the screen and falls down.
Yeah.
I definitely nicked that for this, in my opinion.
Yeah.
How's that for summing it up? I did my best.
Yeah.
No, that's pretty good. Better than I could do, and I'll see it last time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the music, I mean, guys, what can you say about the music? It's just phenomenal.
There's some great bangers on there. If you're into like your 80s metal, mate, it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. Even some of like the electronic sort of atmospheric music in it is so cliche of that era though, but it fits so well.
Oh, that bit where towards the end where the guy comes through on his motorbike and he's just like, you know, Evil Dead's the other one I was thinking of. You can see a lot of, definitely there's been, this film and this era influenced a lot of people and a lot of filmmakers later on. Like, it's so obvious. One of Tony's friends is Rosemary. The other one is, I think, Carmen. The other one's Carmen. And then Rosemary, like, runs off, goes to the toilet, her face starts to bulge, a bit like Picard in Star Trek, whichever one it is. It's going to say Insurrection there, whatever, whichever one it is. First Contact. And this, it basically just blows up, pops, and she turns into a demon, snarling and spewing green goo everywhere, which is pretty cool. I mean, the story is sad, like, the kind of, the issues I have with the pacing aside, just in terms of, I think it struggles, because it's just constantly trying to keep this really high octane pace, and it's like every now and again it probably should have calmed itself down a bit. But I mean, that's probably me thinking with a 2023 head on, not like what the 80s were for. I love some of the characters in there. The guy who takes his wife there for her anniversary, she's like complaining about it, and he's just like, she's like, oh, it's too black, because I watched like an English dub. It's Italian, by the way.
Yeah.
I watched an English dub, and it's just like, oh, it's too bloody. He's like, Ruth, shut up. I love that.
That's a happy marriage right there.
Oh, yeah.
It's the fact there's a fucking blind man in the cinema. It's just fantastic. Like.
Well, it's the fact that, like, he keeps going, what's happening, what's happening?
Yeah, Liz, what's going on? She's getting finger-bashed in the back seat.
That guy comes and sits next to her. I mean, I don't know what pheromones they're putting out in this theatre, but, it's, like, it's ridiculous. Like, he's like, are you there? Hey, Liz, are you there? And he's feeling for her, not in that way. And he's, like, trying to see where she is. And then there's another guy feeling for her in exactly the way you're thinking. And she's, like, up against the curtain. It's like, this guy's just some weirdo who's just come and sat next to her. Yeah. Like, don't take this film and be like, I think I want to know how to pick people up. I'm going to watch Demons. Please don't. You'll get yourself in trouble very, very quickly. So she bins him off to hook up with some random guy. Then they essentially get ripped to pieces. The practical effects are absolutely brilliant. Who is it who ends up falling out the screen? Is it...
It's one of the hookers, I believe.
Is it Carmen? I think it's Carmen.
Yeah. Rosemary's the first one to get
Infected
or possessed or whatever you want to So yeah, and the other, yeah, Carmen's the one who falls through the screen.
Yeah, because there's that woman at the front who's like the only one who notices the screams. She's like, "Well, no, wait, these screams are real." And the guy's like, "Will you shut up?" And
like, yeah, you're ruining the film.
Yeah. And then you get like the long tongue effect, which is absolutely hilarious. And then the guy drops from the ceiling, and I'm like, "Yeah, this is pretty cool." Mm. The teeth effect made me cringe, but it was rare, you know, when it, like her teeth get knocked out and the fangs drop.
Roots, I think for its time, though, it was pretty good. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, the practical effects side of it, anyway.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, it's not too far off from, like, I mean, 1981, you got An American Werewolf in London.
Mm.
So I would rather watch a film with practical effects in it like this than I would. Like, can you imagine this film with CGI? Oh, it'd be unwatchable. You'd be like, oh, God, no.
Yeah.
Like, watch The Thing 1981 and The Thing 2011, and you'll see. Although, to be fair to the people who made the 2011 prequel to The Thing, they did all practical effects, and then the studio were like, "Oh no, we're going to CGI over the top of those." Why? That's a story for another day.
Yeah.
But it's that kind of era of those really, really good practical effects. Ruth's husband gets his neck ripped open. The blind guy. Well, I mean, this is a thing, right? Because he gets his face ripped off. And then he comes back later on and he's just had his eyes gouged out, which obviously, I mean, he wasn't using anyway. But it's like, I'm sure he got his face ripped off and he turns out later on and he's fine. Mm. Turns out the theatre is getting kind of overrun by demons. They've bricked everybody in, literally bricked them in. Another woman gets scalped. I think it was Ruth. Not sure if it was. She gets scalped, which is pretty cool.
Mm.
And then this is when you get the brilliant moment where Tony the Pimp, what a name, decides to take over and he's like, "We gotta stop the movie." Like, it's like, right, okay.
If there's any reason to watch this film, it's for Tony the Pimp.
It is.
And if there's any reason to watch the second one, Bobby Rhodes is in it again playing a different character, as is most of the cast, because they literally filmed it straight afterwards. And Demons 2 got released in Germany before Demons 1. That's how soon after they recorded it.
So they were literally just bounced straight on at the second one. I like that.
Yeah, they were just throwing things around going, let's make it happen. Got some money left over, no one's busy.
Yeah. Can we just change your makeup a bit? Yeah, we'll go again. they decide to smash up the projection room because it's automated. All right, then. And then the guy's like, is it Tony who says, I can't remember, the guy's like, oh, no, it's the blind guy who turns up with his eyes gouged out. And he's like, because he's not turned, he hasn't turned, I don't know why he hasn't turned. Mm. And he's like, it's not the movie, it's the theatre that kills. Tony gets his kneecaps chewed on. He does a good job. He tries to, you know, he pulls out a little flick knife and it's like, oh, Tony, I don't think that's going to do an awful lot here, but, you know. I enjoy your effort anyway.
Yeah.
and then it cuts to outside the theatre, and we meet arguably some of the funniest characters in it. The kind of the four punks in the car who were snorting Coca-Cola from a can, which apparently caused hell on in terms of like showing them scraping what appears to be kind of cocaine into a, you know, I want all of it. And then there's that really weird scene where the guy's got the razor blade on the woman's breast and you're like, where's this going? I'm thinking that's
Dario Argento's daughter, the younger daughter of Arcia Argento.
Is it?
Yeah, and she apparently had a horrible, horrible time on set.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not surprised if someone's running razor blades over here.
To get it put on the banned list, it was bad.
I mean, you know, if you're going to. Well, mind you, they're not going to, but you do know these practical effects. How hard is a pair of breasts going to be? Like, you've made like heads that crack open. Like, you've made someone's back that like a demon pops out of. I don't think a pair of breasts is going to be difficult, but you know, films.
Mm, that's it.
The punks end up running into the police and who then are like, the police are just like, yeah, can you all get out of the car? Because the guy's clearly absolutely off his head. and they run away, and they're like, they run straight into the theater, and the theater door opens, and the guy's like, "What the fuck?" And he's like, "Yeah, let's just run in here anyway." I mean, I am flying to this pretty quick. George and Cheryl are the only ones to. Well, Kathy literally has a demon. It just rips its way out of her and scuttles off, which was quite funny. George and Cheryl are the only two that make it out. They're attacked by the silver mask dude from the beginning. And then we find out that Berlin has been taken over by demons. Or the irony. And then the end credits roll as they head away from the city with some survivors until Cheryl transforms into a demon. And then this little kid just like, he just blasts, shotgun blasts off the back of the truck. And then George just looks back, doesn't seem particularly arsed. And they then ride off into the sunset.
And they lived happily ever after.
Demons too. Which I'll definitely be watching tonight.
I mean, that's pretty much a lot.
It's List having a sequel. So, just up there.
I mean, yeah. I mean, what's the sequel? What does that, do a different part of it? Or does it follow on from this at all?
Yeah, it follows on. The sequel was basically, if I can remember, it's been like a year since I watched it, so I'm going to watch it again tonight. It's basically, there's this huge apartment building, and you get to sort of look around the people's lives in the apartment on the TV. I think they're saying like, oh, it's been a year since the demon attack. Here's what we've learned. So people are basically living they've basically gone back to normal. You know, like during the early days of COVID, we were like, oh, is this life now? And then after a while, it was like, oh, yeah, we're in COVID. Do you know what I mean? It was a bit like that. So it's sort of that sort of thing. And then, of course, it all goes tits up, and then demons turn up, and it's a party from there on. But instead of being set in a movie theatre, it's set in a big apartment block.
Oh, okay. Right, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, yeah, I was just thinking it sounds like a lot of films that I've heard of since, like, The Quarantines and Record and stuff like that. It's not, because they always have that, don't they, kind of? Because it is a little bit, like, it's not about zombies, it's about demons, but a lot of the rules for zombies seemingly are in this. You get a scratch, or you get bit, well, I don't think anyone gets bitten, do they? But you get, like, scratched or, you know, clawed at, and you become one of them. It's only kind of a matter of time. And in What's-Her-Face's case, you don't even know she's infected until she, like, turns out on the camera and it's like, and you're like, oh, okay, right, she's infected then.
He got bitten in the neck, didn't he? In the air duct, when they're crawling around, she turns around and bites him in the neck.
Oh. I did wonder.
The ventilation shaft and stuff. Yeah, it's a deep...
Yeah, they were the only ones who decided to do anything clever. Like, all the others are just there, like, banging on the bricks, like, and you're like, you're not going to get out of this by banging on bricks. And they don't. But then those two are the only ones that go off, aren't they?
Yeah, they're like, fuck this. We're going to be practical.
I mean, and I've got to say, like, it's very of its time in terms of the way that, like, I don't do politics on the show, as people know, but in terms of the way they portray the women are all, like, stereotypical, like, oh, my God, something's coming. Oh, my God, grab the nearest man. Like, and it's like, oh, the like, okay.
Grabbing them and shaking them like, calm down, you crazy broad.
Yeah, 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 definitely. or just like, getting shouted at to be quiet. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, but I did enjoy it. I struggled with it in terms of, I found it a bit of a slog, even though it was only 90 minutes. But I think when the practical part of it, when they have some of the fights, like, it is, like, gleefully ridiculous. And the gore's fantastic in that way that only the 80s can do. Like, I don't know what happened, but they just don't do this anymore. And it's like, if they made a film like this now and, like, went off practical effects, like, it would absolutely kill.
Yeah,
and they just don't, and you think you're missing a trick, like, really missing a trick.
Well, even like modern horror fans, like kids today who are like 14, 15, their favorite horror movies are still the ones from the 70s and 80s. And it's like people like Blumhouse and shit like that are always sitting there going, oh, yeah, we're huge horror fans. Are you? You seem like money fans.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I couldn't name you a horror film in the last 20 years that's anywhere near as good as The Exorcist, Halloween, It's just, I mean, I have got gaps. I am going to fill in the Friday the 13th. I haven't seen The Nightmare on Elm Street. I've got big gaps, but I've seen enough to know that, like, I was going to say, you don't know your barn. How old does that sound? But, like, it's like when people say, you know, like, oh, there's some, like, oh, my God, I can't wait to see Malignant. And you're like, oh, Christ. You know, and it's like, go back and watch some of the, like, classic, even, like, films like The Town That Dreaded Sundown, which is, like, arguably the first kind of thriller, slasher type thing. You know, they're just awesome. But, you know, they're old, so people just ignore them. Like, oh no, the newest Marvel's out, so I'm gonna go watch that instead. All right then.
Where do you land on those that Marvel stuff?
I can't stand it. I mean, I didn't mind it at the start, like up to Endgame, because they kind of had a point, and there was a point to what they were doing, and it was impressive what they did, all these films linked together.
Yeah.
But then they've just continued it for the sake of, like, money.
Yeah.
And for me, like, I'm one of these people, like, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Of course they are, because otherwise podcasts will be boring as shit and life will be boring as shit. But I can't stand, like, insincerity or when people are like, oh, my God, this film's amazing. I'm like, is it? Is it, though? Like, how many films have you seen? Like, and I can't. I think superhero films, like, they've absolutely done them to death. Like, there's just nothing new. Like, you just need to stop and just, like, let them. Just let them die for a while and then let something else appear. But I mean, without what's going on, it's just not going to happen because everything's just kind of stopped. So you're thinking, like, get going on it again. I tried actually for the patrons to watch all the Marvel films. I think I've got about six in. And I was like, and then I was doing it chronologically. So not in terms of when they were made, but in terms of, like, how they fit. Ninth, you know, so
phase two,
yeah. And I watched Captain Marvel and got 45 minutes in it, went and turned it off. And I was just like, oh dear god, like, I can't watch any more of these, like, it's not worth it. I don't get enough from them, but I do love it. Like, people think, oh, you don't like superheroes. I know, actually, I love them, but I like them when they're done properly. Like, I was brought up on, like, not the original because I don't remember, it was before I was born, but, like, Batman Returns, you know. Batman Forever, even Batman and Robin, I know it's bad, but I love it. It's just, like you said, Chris, for this, it's kind of really, really shit, but actually it's, like, glorious, isn't it, for me. I know a lot of people hate it, but I, you know, and then, like, the Sam Raimi Spider-Mans when I was, like, 10 onwards, like, they were unbelievable. Then you got The Dark Knight and those films, like, super films were amazing. Yes, we got some shit back then as well, like Elektra, Daredevil wasn't great, you know, they weren't all absolute winners. They were like, I don't know, now they're like mainstream, and they've lost, like, what made them special. They just sit and make them for the sake of it. And it's like, it's like, I'm not into Star Wars. I'm more of a Star Trek person, the old Star Trek stuff, because the new stuff's terrible. But, and, like, I just think the decline in writing, like, I don't think writing's anywhere near as good as it used to be. Like, you go back and watch a series from the 90s, and I know there are exceptions with, you know, this like series like The Sopranos and Breaking Bad. I'm not saying there aren't good ones now, but as a whole, it's like, I chose a weird time to start a podcast because I don't seem to like modern films, but every now and again, something comes out and I enjoy it. But I think overall, it's just become that commercialized. It's like, and, like, directors allowed to do what they want anymore. Like, are they just told, right, this is what you're going to make?
Yeah.
And if you don't do what we're going to do, we'll either get rid of you or we will just massively change it post-production.
A lot of the time, it's just pleasing the boards of directors. That's what it seems like half the time. Make the movie that they want rather than what the fans or the people want.
Yeah. And I think, like, everything's so polarized. Like, and I know, like, doing a podcast and being on the socials, you'll see it more than ever because I don't think most people in real life really care. But I think in terms of films, like, everything's so polarizing. It's like, if you don't absolutely love it, you hate it. So that's not how the world works. Like, don't worry about it. Like, it's like, I love James Bond films, but the last three of them, I just haven't landed with me at all. I've absolutely hated them. But I've got reasons why I dislike them. But I like Quantum of Solace, figure that out. So it's just like, we've all got, you know, weird things. About films, but I can't wait for, like, I want the next phase of whatever we get. I just want, like, I was dying to see that Last Voyage of, look, Jesus, the Last Voyage of the Demeter about Dracula, but it hasn't been released in the UK because something happened with the production company, so God knows. But and if I see a film now and they're like, oh my God, it's a flop, but it's not a superhero film, like, I'm going to go see that. Because there seems to be a weird thing where a film kind of doesn't do very well. And then you watch it and you're like, this is unbelievable. Why did this not catch on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like recently I reviewed The Finest Hours, which is like a disaster film based on like a real life Navy rescue thing that had Chris Pine in it. That was really good. I watched, what was the other one? In the Heart of the Sea, which was kind of about the original story that inspired Moby Dick. That was 2015. We'd like, it had, what's his face in it? The one who played Thor.
I saw that one. It had old Cillian Murphy as well.
Yeah, and it had Brendan Gleeson. It had Ben Wilshaw. It had Tom Holland. Yeah. Didn't have a clue who was in it.
That was older. Ron
Howard. Ron Howard.
Yeah.
And that was a flop. Like, and you're like, and you watch it, and that's I mean, I love that film. Like, I watched it, and I was like, oh my God, they could still make a film that,
yeah,
like, makes me think, oh yeah, right, there's still hope.
Yeah,
I see so few films now that I don't talk about politics, but they've shoved a lot into films, and it's like, I went to see one of the Purge films, and it was just all about politics, and I was like, I don't want this in a Purge film. Yeah. Like, I want death, and
I don't watch any modern films because I don't want to feel like I'm being told off every 4 minutes. So can I just watch a fucking movie, please?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You know, like, it's my issue with some of this, all this like latest Star Wars stuff. It's all like, it comes across as preachy. Whereas you go and watch like Next Generation, and it gives you two sides to it, but it says you decide what's right, or you can't decide here, can you? But we'll give you both sides. And now it's like, oh, no, this is what, and it's like, hang on a minute. No, I don't, like films are meant to be escapism. You're meant to go, turn your brain off and be like, oh, like, this is a bit, like, just enjoy it. The film doesn't have to be class. I've been watching a lot of old films in cinemas because they've stopped doing it recently, but they were doing like showcase, were doing flashback. I went to see The Shining, the original, unbelievable, on the cinema. I went to see Saving Private Ryan. I saw what else? That was class. Oh, I went to see that with my dad, and we were like three rows back because it was packed. Right, so that's, you know, you can tell. I mean, I went to see the newest Jordan Peele one. What was it called? Up, not up. Jesus, the one about aliens in the sky.
I've not seen it yet.
Oh yeah,
it's his first two. I didn't care for Get Out at all. I loved Us.
I've not seen Us. I loved Get Out. I thought that was good, but
Us takes the same kind of formula as Demons, where it's like, here's some characters and a story, but you don't need a plot. Nothing's going to get spoon-fed to you. If you see something, just accept it for what it is. Don't sit there thinking, but why is that? But that doesn't matter. Just poof, there it is. You know, it was great. Loved it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just, I struggle sometimes with what they've done with films. I think that's the reason why a lot of like films made from other places, like Korean films, are taken off, and series, because, you know, they just want to make something good. It's just, and you're like, right, okay, cool, I'll give this a watch. I don't mind it. It's in the best film.
This movement for this resurgence of Demons. The little ones have to know. Can Film Festival needs to know.
I know. You're not going to get Demons at the Cannes Film Festival, are you? It's not going to happen.
Discriminating bastards.
I know. There's just no need for it.
Tally and everything. That makes it classy, doesn't it?
I reckon so, but...
yeah. Or Italian leather, or an Italian decorator, or an Italian craftsman. You're like, oof, that's going to cost a pretty penny. This is Italian culture. This is like, you know, it's poor stuff.
It's Italy / Germany. It's all a bit mixed, isn't it?
Well, it's about like 4% Germany.
Yeah, yeah.
At that time as well, most Berlin was still bombed to shit because obviously, like, World War II had been in the past, in the past 40 years. So,
it took them years to build it back up.
Yeah, still a lot of ruins there and stuff. But it's a deep movie. I was saying to Chris earlier, and it's all about, anti-censorship. That's why they had a heavy metal soundtrack, because at the time in the 80s it was all, oh, if you watch horror movies or listen to heavy metal, you're going to go crazy and kill people and your kids are going to become insane and all this lot. So they were like, well, let's just put this out there. And then people were watching. Same with a movie called Evil Ed. And Evil Ed is one of the unsung heroes of 90s horror and horror as a whole. Because how familiar are you with the video nasties sort of stories?
A little bit, because I know that they were trying to ban them. I know some films got banned. There was already Mary Whitehouse and all that malarkey, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was 88 movies that were put on the video nasties list that were banned in the UK. And among them were Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Evil Ed, not Evil Ed, sorry, Evil Dead, House by the Cemetery, loads of demons, loads of classics. Great movie.
Oh, yeah, wasn't Day of the Dead on there as well?
Yeah, that was on there. And there was a bunch of, like, the Nose Picker, the Toolbox Murders, Island of Death. There was loads of great ones on there. But then that movie came out, and the people who were, they were trying to get funding when they put it out, and they was like trying to get all the new funding and all this shit for marketing. They were saying to people, like, it's a movie about a movie editor who works on horror movies, and then because he works on them, has to watch them all day, he becomes a serial killer and kills people. And all these film boards were like, but that's absolutely ridiculous. And he was like, really? Because you've got 88, you've got a list of 88 movies that say exactly that.
Yes.
So then they were like, oh, he's got a fucking point, actually. And then not long after that, the video nasties list dissolved and all those movies became available in the UK. But, but to dial back again, to like, get excited, it's horror.
Continue. I just get to sit back and listen. It's great.
But, dial it back to like about demons and stuff. So that's what they did. They were just like, yeah, here we go. And people were sitting there going, oh, it's a ridiculous movie. They're like, yeah, well, the notion that this is what would happen is also ridiculous, you know? So, hey, it's cool, man. But there were so many different writing bits on it as well, because there was like Dario Argento. You had that other guy who wrote Once Upon a Time in America with like Robert De Niro and James Woods and all that. He's one of the writers on there. It's just a bunch of Italian dudes just throwing ideas at one another, going, yeah, I'll do. Why not in there at all? That's just how they did it back then. It was great.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I meant to mention it earlier, Chris, after you were talking like about how things seem to be done by, you know, board or by kind of like, oh, well, you know, do it by group. I think. It's meant to, films are meant to be art, and I'm not saying every film has to be like Casablanca or The Shawshank Redemption. They don't have to be, but what they are supposed to be is like someone's vision, or someone's like, you know, someone's taken years to make it, or they've just like The Night of the Living Dead, or Dawn of the Dead, or even films like Halloween. It's like a bunch of mates who've gone, you know what, we really like making films. Yes, we don't have like millions. In fact, we don't even have thousands. Let's make a film the best we can. You know, some of the best films have come from that. Like, you know, look at Quentin Tarantino. Look at Reservoir Dogs. That wasn't even going to be on proper film Harvey Keitel got involved and was like, right, I'll give you a bit of money. George Harrison with Life of Brian. I know it's a comedy, but, you know, he steps in at the last moment and saves that because of all the furore around. Yeah, a comedy set around, you know, Jesus. Well, not even about Jesus, about someone who lived at the same time as Jesus. And now it's like it seems to all be just so paint by numbers. Like I think the older I get, the less time I have. If I watch a film, it doesn't get me, and I'll just turn it off. I'm like, oh,
yeah, you have
I can't deal with this.
All right.
Well, no, I don't have a beard, but I'm. I can't even grow one, so. But,
To come down this way, mate. There's something in the water. Have a neck of ice. You'll be up there, fucking.
It's our fucking water. We keep sending it down to you. keep having fucking droughts, don't you?
What have I got to tell you? Our stuffing is like a hose pipe.
Oh, dear me. It's been an absolute class talk with you guys. It's been a blast, would you?
Nah, it's good, man.
It's what my podcast's all about.
Just shooting the shit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because what do people want? You want a nice structured review, go somewhere else. You're not going to get it here. People must know that by now.
Don't come to the semi-skeptic boys if you want scrap. Fuck's sake.
No.
And if you, I will give a recommendation for you guys. If you want to listen to, granted, I've only listened to a few of your episodes, but that Loch Ness one, I pissed myself laughing at that. I listened to it at work, and it absolutely killed me. Because I love the way, like, people just describe things sometimes, and it absolutely killed me. The way you were talking about it, I thought, oh, this is class, this. That's why I had to shoot a message. I thought, yeah. Because I don't listen to a lot of podcasts. I think, how about you guys? But I think when you make one, you're that busy with your own. You don't have time to, like, listen to other people.
It's hard. You get recommended so many as well, and there just ain't enough hours in the day on top of work, family life. And, you know, it's so hard.
Like... Yeah. I've got, like, the few that I will, like, go to, like, quite often, like, our mate's Vuk, Tracing Owls. I like his podcast, and like, I like... Like, Beyond the Massacre, which is about like death metal and stuff. And there's like a few other ones I'll go to if they've got an episode that sounds interesting, but there's just not enough time to listen to all of them, you know. And yeah. It's just you've got to like share it out and be like, all right, this week I'll do a couple of these episodes, and then this week I'll do a couple of them. But, you know, I used to watch Joe Rogan like quite a lot, but I haven't watched him in a few months because I was just like, dude, I can't be doing with the negativity and this, and the world's ending, and this guy's coming on saying, here's why we're fucked. And then someone else comes on and goes, we're so fucked because of this. And I was just like, I don't want to be fucked. Ignorance is bliss, yeah. Chip.
That's why I don't watch the news. I just want to enjoy myself.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even watch tell you what's on the fucking adverts. But what I will, that I do listen to your show, though. And I'm not just saying it because I'm me. Like, I listened to your Shining episode. Which I really liked. And one thing I'll say to you is please read the book, because if you watch the film, there's a lot of things that Stanley Kubrick included off screen that makes the film even more. Like, for instance, he's there as a writer and he's got writer's block, right? Everyone assumes he's writing a book because it's Stephen King's story. It's not. He's a playwright. And what's a playwright's job? To overlook the players in a drama. What's the hotel called? The Overlook. And, you know, it's just little things like that where you sort of read the book and it gives you more appreciation for the little subtle things in the film that you might otherwise miss. Like, if you read the book, like, quite clearly, Jack is the titular character. He is the Shining. Like, he is the Overlook. He is this. You've always been here, sir. You know, it's just like, you've got to read the book too, man, and get back on that Shining and then do another Shining episode with your boy, because he was great as well.
Oh, yeah. Nathan from Midnight Screening Podcast. Yeah, we did another, I can't remember what film it was. We did another one, and he was so funny and so quirky. And I was like, yeah, you're coming back. I don't care. But yeah, no, that was a crack one. But no, I do appreciate the listens. I don't get an awful lot of them, so it's nice to get them. It's a bit funny though. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, I enjoy them, man. I listened to your Titanic one a little while back.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the young man and young lady, I believe, if I remember right. I listened to your Halloween one because for the life of me, I'm trying to figure out what people see in this movie. So I listened to I just don't get it. I get it's an important movie and I appreciate it, but whenever I sit down and watch, I sit there and think, people think this is better than Friday the 13th. They're mad.
Well, I'm about to start the Friday the 13th. I've got 1 to 8. So if there's only one that's been claimed, it's Jason X. That's not even in the box that I've got. So if you guys want to come on and do any of those, just let
Jason
me know.
It's awesome. All the Jason movies.
Well, do you know what? That's what everyone said. Everybody said, oh, I want to come on and. I've had three people say, has anyone chosen Jason next? I'm like, yes. The first person who message, can I do Jason next? Yes, you can. And now everybody else wants it. No, you can't have it. Pick one of the other 12. Like,
yeah.
But yeah.
Even the remake was good for Friday the 13th. They did a half decent job on it.
Yeah, I like the remake. I went cinema, yeah. So yeah.
I heard some good things about it, to be fair.
Yeah, it's good, man. It's got that bloke in it from Supernatural, before Supernatural. Right. I'm not a fan of Supernatural. I like good telly, but like, people who enjoy that stuff, you know, they could watch it. He's one of those people when he's that like tall, dreamy one with the wavy hair. You don't know if you want to fuck him or fight that one. He's the tall one of the longer. He's in it. I don't know his name, but he does a good job in it. It's a fun film.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's like when I was on holiday and I watched, because it was only one English channel, and I watched The Conjuring, and I really liked that. And I said, this has no right to be this good. Like, I thought it would be absolutely terrible. It was actually a decent watch. Didn't break any new ground. Did you know, it's like talking about fun films. I'll tell a lie. I went in the cinema to go and see The Pope's Exorcist. Oh, it was so much fun. It was such a throwback. Like, Russell Crowe
as The Pope's Exorcist. I wanted to see that.
On Little Vesper. Yeah. Oh, that was...
Wait, so my stepdad was watching that earlier. He was actually on. He was watching it. So I do need to get on. I've heard mixed things. My mum and stepdad both said it was wicked because they watched it the other week and my stepdad watched it again earlier. But then my friend Hannah just said, like, oh, if you want to watch a movie where Russell Crowe rides a moped, then you're probably going to have a good time.
Well, you do see that a couple of times, and I thought it was hilarious. But, like, I went to see it at the cinema. I see it with my mate, and then my auntie, who I often go to the cinema with, said, oh, why didn't you ask me? And I was like, I didn't think it'd be your film. You don't like horror films. And she was like, oh, no, I quite fancy it. And then she said, oh, I'll go see it again. And I couldn't go on the night. And then after being 83-year-old grandma, I was like, oh, I'll go watch it. It's like, when was the last time you went to the cinema and The Pope's Exorcist? And all I could think of, because there's a scene in it where the little lad, he's about 14, I think. He does a good job, but there's a bit where he's like, fuck me. It's not like scary movie, but there's a bit where he's like, you fucking bastard, I know who you are. And he probably goes mental, and I was like, I don't know how my grandma's going to learn. But apparently she really enjoyed it. So, you know, there's the thing about films, universal appeal. Like, I'd have loved to have been there. I couldn't make the night. No, it's all good fun. But no, I appreciate the listens of the podcast. It's, it's they're tough to get, I think. And I think about a year ago, I had a proper wobble about whether I was going to keep going. And I just threw out there and said, any advice is welcome, like anything. And someone they were being kind, but the message saying, oh, if you cut out all the tangent parts, you'd have a decent review. I was like, if I did that, they'd be about 10 minutes long. They'd be really boring.
Yeah.
It'd be like, it's like, surely that's not what people want. Like, my favorite podcasts are like similar to what you guys do, which it's two guys or a couple of people talking about a film or about a topic, and they just talk normally. There's no pissing about. There's no like, and next up, favorite scenes. And you're like, oh, fuck off. Like, I can't do that kind of enthusiasm. Like, it just doesn't come naturally. And I think if I tried to do it, it just comes across as taking the piss.
But I enjoy
that, just people talking, because isn't that
point? So before we started doing our podcasts, I started listening to a few other conspiracy ones, and some of them, it was basically just two people reading from the Wikipedia page, but they weren't necessarily like bouncing ideas off each other or talking about the subject. It was literally just, I'll say this line, you say that line. And it's so scripted.
Yeah.
Where, like what you're saying, like, it's, I think when it's like an actual conversation, it just seems more natural, you know?
Yeah. Well, I thought that was the point of podcasts, because like, if you want really, really slick, you can go find a nice YouTube video that's all nicely done. Mm. And I'm watching myself. Or if you wanted, you know, people being daft and a bit of music, it's radio for you. That podcast is meant to tread that line. There's nothing wrong with like, so like Weird Horizon that Sarah does, hers is all scripted and she does, but hers are really informative and it's her. Although I have told her she's got such a lovely voice, she should do like a sleep one. She hasn't taken me up on it yet, but if you listen to it, you'll know what I mean. But like, and then other ones I've listened to, like I've listened to some where there's like a random sound effect thrown in and you're like, what the hell? You're like that, like, oh God. And you just like, I love nothing more than listening to people talking about something. And all of a sudden someone will go, what the fuck does that mean? Like, I think that's what I enjoy. Like, usually I haven't done it for this one because I don't have the DVD, but something I've been doing with a lot of my reviews in the last few months is like, I'll read the back of the DVD cover because it's absolutely dreadful. And you read it, who the fuck's put that? Because I don't read it beforehand. So I just read it out. And, what does that mean? Who's written it? Because they're absolutely all over the place sometimes, and spelling mistakes and all sorts. So.
Their tagline is something awful. Again, it's another Italian horror movie, and the tagline is something awful like, check the fine print, you may have just remortgaged your life. And it's like, oh.
It's what you want. It's like a, it's like, what's that one? It's like a volcano, the 1997 film. It's like a, it's hot as hell, or the coast is toast, and you're like, yes, I like this. This will be good fun.
Where it says, sharks live in water, snow is water, the science is sound.
Is it really?
And it's just like, fair enough.
I know. It's just, to be fair, even when like they do them for like the tagline for the film wasn't great. Alien Covenant, the poster for that was just like a black poster with the xenomorph's head like just about visible, and it just said run underneath. And you're like, that's a poster. That's how you do it. Film wasn't great, unfortunately, but apparently there's a new Alien coming out, isn't there? By is it Rodriguez or something?
There's always rumors of a new.
No, they're actually Alien. Filming it. They're actually filming.
Oh,
it.
They are.
Yeah, the new. Say, I think it's going to be like a full-on sort of like action blasty gore fest, because the guy who's doing it, he did a bunch of like splatter movies. Oh, I can't remember who it is now.
Is he called Rodriguez? Something like that. Oh, no, it's Fede Alvarez.
Yeah. What movies did he do? Because he's done some like proper splatterpunk movies, and now he's doing an alien movie. It's like, ooh.
He is, he directed Evil Dead, the 2013 one.
That's right.
Don't Breathe, 2016.
Yep.
I've not seen that one yet.
That's good.
What else do you do? I think he's done a couple in his own. Oh, he did The Girl in the Spider's Web. Don't Breathe 2. Oh, the 2022 Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Oh,
I love.
You enjoy that one?
Yeah. Oh, mate, you could give me Sex in the City. If it's got Leatherface in it, I'm going to love it.
I didn't mind the one that did.
It was a few years. Texas with a chainsaw, and there was a massacre. It delivered everything it promised.
I love the 2003 version. In fact, I don't like the original. I don't think a lot of the original. I think it's really, really. I think about that how you think about Halloween. The original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I just watched it and thought, what is this? This is awful. But I love the 2003 version.
I love it for what it did for horror. But the 2003 version is my favorite version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's banging.
I love the beginning as well. But Arlie,
yeah, the prequel one's like, good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the guys in it as well are pretty good, to be fair. Because one of those kids is the bully in Jack Frost, you know, with Michael Keaton. Never mind. That's
I remember it, yeah.
I know the kid that plays Jedediah is also in The Ring. And The Ring 2, he plays Aiden. Yeah.
And what's the other guy? I think one of the guys in it, the one who has the gun shoved down his mouth, he's in The Ruins, I think. If you ever saw The Ruins, that was that's a decent film, you know. If you can catch that, it's not that old. I did a review of it on Men Who Like Movies podcast. The Ruins, it's called. That's a decent one. It's about plants. It sounds like it'd be shit, but it's really good. One of those films that's really out there, but yeah. Not a bad one.
We like movies that are out there. You ever see Dark City?
Oh,
I think it's on my watch list. I think that's been recommended to me before.
Banging right. Film.
Yeah. That is Kiefer Sutherland, fucking William Hurt, Rufus Sewell, Jennifer Connelly.
What a cast of guys.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Great film.
The set they sold to those guys who did The Matrix. So when you're watching The Matrix, all of that is just a recycled set from Dark City.
No way.
Recognize well, it's like, straight away.
I quite like the kind of that. Like you get films like Donnie Darko, and then the most underrated Ashton Kutcher film ever, The Butterfly Effect. The director's cut's pretty good. That's forget it's him and going to it thinking, right, let's just enjoy this.
It's one of those people. Well, I see his face, and I just think, I can't watch this.
Well, fair enough, yeah.
He's like Ryan Reynolds to me. I see his face, and I think, I'm not watching your fucking movie. You ruined Blade 3.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Do you know that we're going to remake Blade? Thankfully, it's on indefinite hiatus. Thank Christ.
Oh, thank God.
It's like, just fuck off. Nobody is going to do Blade as well as Wesley Snipes did. And another thing where they're like, oh, I'm not going to get anywhere. But yeah, no. I mean, you know, but yeah, I love absolutely Blade's unbelievable. Blade 2 is spot on as well. Trinity, not great at all.
But if they do remake Blade, I mean, you know who they've got playing him, don't you?
Is it Mahershala Ali, is it?
No, it's Jamie Foxx.
Oh, no, it's not, is it?
Yeah. So if I could get anyone to play Blade, Jamie Foxx could do it. Django Unchained is sick.
I just don't see it. He doesn't have that charisma for me. I just, no.
Yeah. I am more of a Wesley Snipes man.
That's, I mean, Demolition Man. The Fugitive, like U.S. Marshals, he's in that. Like, that's a decent film as well. I say, oh no, don't. Sometimes you just think, don't do it.
What was the other one? King of New York as well. That was one of his very early films. Yeah. That's a great movie. So overlooked.
I've spent years.
Yeah, Christopher Walken, Wesley Snipes, Steve Buscemi. Lawrence Fishburne. Oh, what a movie.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Tears of the Sun's on Netflix as well. It's just popped up. Good film. Some good stuff on there. Halloween Kills has also just gone on, so make of that what you will. Aaron looks mightily impressed. It's been an absolute blast, guys, and I talk more, but I need to turn the aircon on. I'm dying. It's boiling up.
Yeah, no worries, man.
Would you guys like to tell everybody where you're from and like what your podcast's all about and any upcoming episodes that you're looking forward to?
No,
you don't have to. It's the polite thing to do, isn't it? It's like, oh, here's the shameless plug part of the episode.
Give yourself a shameless plug.
We just talk about like conspiracy stuff, paranormal. Yeah. You know, we try to go in it like we say semi-skeptic because like we're not buying any of it, but we're happy to look into it and give some stuff to benefit the doubt because like we don't actually know everything. So if people say like, oh, this can't be done because of the science, we're like, well, we're not scientists, so we can't actually speak to that. But you know, but. There's stuff we believe in, and you know, like we think the first moon landing was faked and stuff. And a lot of people were like, oh, how can you think that? It's like, we've got our reasons. You'll find out why we've got our reasons.
Yeah, Kubrick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love Kubrick.
Why does Danny have an Apollo t-shirt on in The Shining? Why? There's no reason whatsoever for that to be there. And everything else means so much. What, like, there's got to be a reason, but who knows? It's like the film. Have you ever seen the film Capricorn 1?
Oh, classic.
Like, yeah, I mean, we know it's got him in it, but it's like, oh, it's such a good film. Because it's basically essentially saying, you know what this is about, and we know what this is about. We're not going to tell you what this is about. That's it. Before we go, sorry, I've got to say, did you guys ever watch the film Brightburn?
No.
Okay, so Brightburn, I think it was like 2013. I think basically what it was, 2019, Jesus. It was basically, it is a superhero horror film, but it was basically about a kid. It's basically the story of Superman, except they didn't have the rights. So they just went, an alien lands, this couple who can't have kids, adopt the kid on the farm, raise the kid, but then the kid starts to like get into adolescence and starts to get like violent and cruel, and it's about how do you cope with a kid that's like that but is also like Superman, but they couldn't call it Superman, so it's essentially Superman goes bad, and it sounds like it'll be shit, but it's actually really good. I can't remember what the kids are right in it, but it's got Elizabeth Banks in it. She plays the mom. David Denham, I think he's the dad. And a few other people, like, you'll kind of know the faces, but nobody massive in it.
Yeah.
But it's a surprisingly decent, like, it's a decent film.
Yeah, like if Christopher Nolan did something like We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Oh, I tried to read that book. I couldn't get in. I've got the book. I couldn't get into it. Put me off. Well, you know, I know, but the book's... Yeah, no, I've not seen the film yet. It is on my to watch this, but I was that disappointed in the book. I'm like, I'm a bit put off now, but
what's the film?
I'll give it a go.
It doesn't drag on as much as the fucking book.
Yeah. Well, the book's all about from the mum's diary, and I was like, oh, fuck, can't be asked with this. So there you go. Anywho, thank you to the guys from Semi-Skeptic Pod for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Having us.
Yeah, no, thank you for your time.
This is our first time guesting on another podcast.
Mm.
Bingo. Well, yeah. I was never going to have guests ever. The first 2 or 3 months of my podcast was me on my own. And then I got convinced by a Scotsman to have a guest. And then it just went on from there. And I enjoy having guests that much that I always have guests. But I tend to bring a lot of regulars back. So if there's any films that you guys want to do, if you've got any films that are terrible that you want to defend, let me know. Because you can come and defend it if you want. So yeah, there's loads of scope out there. But it was a pleasure. And yeah, thanks to for you guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Thanks for having us, man. It's been great.
Don't we? Casual ones where we just talk shit if we can't think of anything. So we want to start getting guests on for our casual episodes as well. So you're welcome to come on sometime and just chat movies with us and shit.
Sounds fun. Give me a shout. Clear about 3 hours though, because I do ramble on. To be fair, you'll find as you do more guests, there's nothing worse than a guest who won't talk. It hasn't happened only a few times, but you're really like, help me talk. But you can't make someone talk. So
but you can.
thanks to everyone for listening, and we'll be back with more episodes. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, thanks.
Get it in, get it on, and enjoy the vlog.
Welcome to Film Vloggers.
Oh, harder, Daddy.
The only film review podcast, thankfully, that poses the question, does watching this film feel like flogging a dead horse?
There he is, beating that dead horse!
Introducing your hosts. First up, her Irish potty mouth turns the air a whole new shade of blue. It's Fiona. Say hello, Fiona.
And why the f*** is Dan Mackers doing our intro?
I want to be gold!
That's great. That's great. She's adorable. And your second host needs no introduction. The man, the myth, the legend. Like, I said I'd do this. I said I'd do this for you. I'm not reading this. It's the guy who waffles too much. It's Ben. Cooey!
I'm making waffles.
So what are you waiting for? Grab your whip, mount your dead horse, and let's get on with the vlog, shall we?